The 1860 U.S. presidential election was one of the most pivotal and dramatic in American history, setting the stage for the Civil War. In many ways, it was an election that exposed the deepening divisions within the nation, between the North and South, and over the issue of slavery. The election marked the end of the old political order and the beginning of a new chapter that would soon lead to war. 1860 was a landslide. At the heart of the 1860 election was the question of slavery, and it was this issue that dominated the political landscape. By this time, the nation was already polarized, with the North and South growing further apart over the expansion of slavery into new territories and states. The Republican Party had been founded in the mid-1850s, largely in opposition to the spread of slavery, and by 1860, they had become the dominant political force in the northern states. On the other hand, the southern states remained firmly loyal to the Democratic Party, which had traditionally supported the institution of slavery. The four candidates running in the 1860 election represented these sharp divisions. Abraham Lincoln, the Republican nominee, had emerged as the party's candidate after a hard-fought convention. Lincoln was relatively unknown nationally, but he had gained a reputation in Illinois as an eloquent and reasoned opponent of slavery's expansion. He was a moderate, committed to halting the spread of slavery, but not to immediate abolition, which helped him appeal to a broader range of voters in the North. Lincoln's platform, centered on stopping slavery's expansion into the territories, resonated with those who saw the institution as a moral wrong, but also with those who feared it would undermine free labor and the economy. Stephen Abe Douglas, the Democratic nominee from Illinois, was another key figure in the race. Douglas had been a leading figure in the Senate for years, and he was a strong advocate for popular sovereignty, which meant that the people of each territory should decide for themselves whether to allow slavery. While this was a relatively moderate stance, it made him unpopular with many in the South, who believed that it left the issue of slavery open to future restrictions. In fact, the Democratic Party itself was split along regional lines during the convention. The Southern Democrats nominated John C. Breckinridge, the vice president under James Buchanan, who supported the full protection of slavery and believed that the federal government should enforce the right to slavery in all states and territories. The Northern Democrats, on the other hand, nominated Douglas. Finally, there was John Bell, a former senator from Tennessee, who ran as the candidate of the Constitutional Union Party. This party was a coalition of former Whigs, Know-Nothings, and some moderate Democrats who hoped to avoid the question of slavery altogether. Bell's platform was focused on preserving the Union and maintaining the Constitution, without taking a strong position on the slavery question. His campaign was essentially a plea for national unity, and he drew support from both Northern and Southern voters who were not willing to pick sides in the increasingly bitter debate over slavery. As the election unfolded, the United States was already in a precarious situation. The nation was deeply divided, with tensions over slavery intensifying after events like the Dred Scott decision in 1857 and the violent clashes in Kansas, which had become known as Bleeding Kansas. The economy was also in a period of turmoil, with the country suffering from a depression that began in 1857. Many Southerners felt that their way of life and their economic system were under threat from the growing abolitionist movement in the North, while many Northerners feared that the expansion of slavery would put free labor at a disadvantage. The state of the electorate was equally divided, and the election reflected these divisions. Lincoln had the support of the North and the Western territories, which were rapidly growing in population and importance. Douglas, while popular in Illinois and some other northern states, struggled to appeal to voters in the South, where his support for popular sovereignty was viewed as insufficient. Breckinridge had strong backing in the Deep South, where slaveholding was entrenched, while Bell's appeal was mostly in border states, where many people were undecided or hoped to avoid taking a stance on slavery. The election itself was a chaotic affair, and the results were as much a reflection of the fractured state of the nation as they were of the candidates themselves. Lincoln won the election with just under 40% of the popular vote, but he dominated the electoral vote, securing 180 out of 303 electoral votes. This was more than enough to win the presidency, even though he did not carry a single Southern state. In fact, Lincoln was completely shut out of the South, winning only in the Northern and Western states, where his anti-slavery platform had the most resonance. What made Lincoln's victory a landslide, however, was his dominance in the electoral vote. Although he did not win a majority of the popular vote, the electoral system worked in his favor, with the North's large population giving him a significant advantage. In contrast, Breckinridge and Bell split the vote in the South, with neither candidate able to command a majority in the region. Douglas, despite his popularity in the North, was unable to win enough Southern votes to make a real challenge for the presidency. Looking at the election from a broader historical perspective, it's easy to see why it could be considered a landslide, despite the close popular vote. Lincoln's victory represented the triumph of a new political force, the Republican Party, over the existing political establishment. It was the beginning of the end for the Whigs, the Democratic Party's dominance, and the old order that had been in place since the Jacksonian era. In a way, the election was a harbinger of the changes to come, as the growing tensions over slavery would soon boil over into open conflict. The aftermath of the election was equally dramatic. Just weeks after Lincoln's victory, Southern states began to secede from the Union, starting with South Carolina in December 1860. By the time Lincoln took office in March 1861, 7 Southern states had seceded, and the nation was on the brink of war. Lincoln's victory was, in many ways, a signal that the North had won the political battle over slavery. But it was also a sign of just how divided the country had become, and how deep those divisions ran. In the end, the 1860 election was a landmark moment in U.S. history, one that foreshadowed the coming storm of the Civil War. While Lincoln's victory might have seemed like a landslide in terms of the electoral vote, it was also a sign of the deep fractures in American society, fractures that would soon lead to war and the eventual end of slavery in the United States.